Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you can trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. Spain is currently trading at over 17% to win it all, meaning a $100 trade pays out over $530 if they win soccer's biggest prize. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code JUMP to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Let's say hello now to Terry McCormick, Titan Insider at Main Street Media. Terry, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We've been kind of debating this. You were at Titans practice over the weekend. Did it bug you that the draft picks really didn't do a whole lot, or is it kind of like, all right, it's too early to make this a big deal?
Well, I didn't make a big deal out of it, but yeah, it's, you know, that's kind of what you're there to see. I'm not there to see a bunch of guys that are going to, in 2 weeks, are going to end up being, you know, car salesmen and insurance agents. I want to see guys that are going to play football. And, you know, that's kind of what we were denied. I mean, I know there's a chance that one or two of these guys will get signed and that one or two of the undrafted rookies that they had already signed would make the roster. But it would have been nice to see Carnell Tate run a pass route, or it would have been nice to see Anthony Hill go through a defensive drill and things like that, because those are the guys that everybody wants to see.
Yeah, no, I think I understand Robert Saleh and what he's trying to do. Of like, these guys haven't really been in football shape; they've been in combine shape, which is, as we know, two different things. And so maybe he's been a little overcautious, but at the same time, I do kind of understand where he's going with it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, I guess, you know, dog him too much for that, because he said he referred to Dante Fowler back when he tore an ACL in one of these rookie mini camp drills and was lost for the entirety of his rookie season. So I guess if you've seen something like that, you know, it probably puts you on high alert that something like that could always happen again. But you know, still, it would have been nice to see a little bit of the guys that we think we're going to start seeing on Sundays.
Is Tyron Montgomery, the wide receiver from John Carroll, going to be this year's camp darling?
Probably, just given his story. You know, he's not very big. You know, he's a former basketball player for a brief time at LSU. You know, and must have been a heck of a basketball player to walk on at LSU at 5'11 and about 180 pounds. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he does. And there'll be one or two others that'll get into the mix. But what I thought was interesting was that, you know, Xavier Restrepo and this guy Hal Presley, who was on the practice squad last year, both those guys, you know, were there at the rookie minicamp, and they were out there running drills with these guys that are, you know, tryout players and undrafted rookies, trying to, you know, I guess show that, hey, you know, I still belong here. You still need me here, even though, you know, you brought a fresh crop of guys in.
Terry, was that some punk in a souped-up Camry?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Figures.
Sorry, we'll about fight that. Them for you.
That's what our question of the day, Terry, is: what kind of car does a total jerk drive? What do you think?
What kind of car does a total jerk drive?
I said a souped-up Camry with the muffler falling off. Those guys are always jerks.
Oh, I have one of those.
See? Exactly.
Well, the muffler's not falling off, but I have what I call my beater with a heater, you know, that I drive just to keep the miles off my good vehicles. And
that's okay.
You know, and the thing of it is, if you're in traffic and somebody, you know, or if you get the door dinged on it, you don't care with that car. But, you know, like you would if it's something that's, you know, that you really enjoy and really want to take care of. What kind of car would a total jerk drive? I don't know, BMWs, Audis, I don't know. That might be it.
As Chase said, what did Vrabel drive?
he drove a big, I think, Cadillac SUV, huge SUV. It was a huge black SUV.
Ah, his wife drives that now. Hey, listen, moving on. What quarterbacks were out at camp this weekend, Terry? Throw into the guys.
Well, you had Caden Salter, who played at the University of Colorado, and then you had a guy from Monmouth. I think his name, Derek Robertson or something like that. And then you had Cade McNamara, the former Michigan quarterback, was out there giving it a whirl.
Wow. So I thought they'd bring back at least one more. Maybe a hooker would be out there, or what's the other one they got out there, a quarterback? Oh, gosh.
Will Levis.
Don't they have – well, they got three, right? Yeah. So maybe thought maybe Hooker might go out there and throw some routes, but I guess not.
No, I think, you know, this was really just, you know, rookie quarterbacks, you know, that are undrafted. They were giving them a look. Honestly, none of them were very impressive. I think, you know, there was – I know one of the quarterbacks threw a pass that was, you know, fairly deep, lofted it toward the end zone. And then and Saturday it was windy out there, especially around that lake. It was windy, but, you know, I kind of didn't feel like this guy had much of a chance when I saw the receiver on the play have to turn around and catch the ball like it was a punt.
I could have thrown that pass out there. Terry, there's one video that went viral. It was the DB from Tennessee. They said he runs like Captain Jack Sparrow when he's getting chased on the Caribbean. Have you seen this video?
I have not.
It's gone viral. he run, and they compared Captain Jack Sparrow and this guy out of Tennessee, their running style, and they're absolutely 100% in line with each other. I just thought, I was like, poor guy. Guy's trying to bust his ass to make an NFL team, and somebody's made a meme or a video going viral how he runs like Captain Jack Sparrow. It was not a good look.
Hey, let's be honest. There were times last year when if Captain Jack Sparrow had been out there playing cornerback, it would probably have been better than some of the ones they had.
Oh, I totally agree, man.
So do you think, and back to the quarterbacks, whenever Will Levis is not on this roster, which I'm kind of wondering when that's going to be, do they bring in a fourth arm for training camp, or do you think they'd be okay with three?
I don't know. I mean, Daboll seems like a four quarterback guy for camp. He said when I asked him to kind of assess the quarterbacks on Saturday, he said, you know, you can never have enough quarterbacks at this time of year. And, you know, given the way right now the question marks on the offensive line, I'm kind of inclined to agree with it, you know, with this team. You know, I'm starting to think – And this is going to sound crazy to you guys, but I'm starting to think that Will Levis may end up being here. He may end up being here as a backup quarterback on this roster unless somebody, you know, some team has somebody get hurt in camp and, you know, they want to acquire a quarterback on the fly that has some experience. So because, you know, and maybe it's just lip service, but Daboll had some very complimentary things to say about Levis on Saturday when I asked about him. And, you know, who knows? I mean, it's gone on this long, and I'm kind of surprised that he's still here and hasn't been traded. But, you know, I think the one thing that's probably working against the trade right now is the fact that, you know, he missed all of last year. Nobody's seen him throw a football in a year. And it's going to take somebody, you know, seeing is believing, I guess, to, you know, offer something for him. And who knows if that'll happen at the you know, camp cut deadline.
So, I mean, I would understand all that and be fine with it even to an extent, but then why bring in Trubisky?
Well, I think the reason Trubisky is here is because he knows the system. He knows, you know, he's worked with Daboll before. He can be the sounding board in the room, so to speak, the much better improved version of Brandon Allen, the guy that knows – that's been around, that knows the system, you know, and those sorts of things. You know, all right, I'll throw out my theory here and you see if you guys buy it, okay?
Okay.
All right, if something were to happen to Cam Ward and you needed somebody to finish a game for you, you'd want Mitch Trubisky to probably be the guy to do that, correct?
Probably, yes. Yep.
If If something happened to Cam Ward and he misses a month, would you be more inclined to give Will Levis a look, or would you ride with Mitch Trubisky for four games, kind of knowing what he is?
That is a really good question,
yeah,
when you put it that way. So, I mean, they could find themselves in a position where they're going to lose a roster spot because they want to carry three.
Yeah, I mean, that's entirely possible. I mean, when Dable was with the Giants, they carried three quarterbacks for the most part, because you remember Tommy DeVito was up there,
hey.
Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, and then they drafted Jackson Dart. So they had four guys in last year and wound up carrying three all season.
Yeah. That is an interesting thing.
What's for this weekend? The vets come this weekend and get together with the rookies?
I think that starts soon. The first date, I think, of actual OTA work that we might get to see doesn't come until like the week of the 18th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
About 2 weeks from now is when we'll actually get to lay our eyes on the veterans and see them mesh with the rookies.
But that's not to say that, I mean, Ward and Carnell Tate could all be in the bubble, right? Throwing routes to each other. I mean,
oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I'm just curious how that's going to go. I mean, because people are like, all right, now Carnell Tate's got to come hit the ground running, and he's got to be the number one receiver, and him and Ward got to be the deadly combo in the NFL because they're the first pick in the fourth, on and on and on and on. So I don't think they're waiting until an open practice to get together. I mean, I think there's a lot of bonding, right? When you think so, they've got to go through?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, I mean, I'm sure that some of that's already happened, you know, in terms of, you know, contact between the two of them, and they'll get reps together, you know, both when they're there at the facility, and then they'll get some time away and things like that. So they won't lack for reps as they head into this off season and getting ready to learn this offense and, you know, and get used to each other. There won't be a lack of work put in.
Let me ask you, somebody asked me this recently about if Vince Young had an all pro, just kick ass receiver, would he have been a better quarterback? And my answer after a few moments was no. I mean, what would you have said about a quarterback and having a number one outstanding receiver? Does it make a difference if the quarterback isn't any good?
It can. It can help some guys, but could you imagine what the sideline tantrums would have looked like if, say, Randy Moss was on this team when Vince Young was a rookie and Vince sails three balls over his head that are uncatchable? What would that be like on the sidelines when they came back?
Oh, it had been a brawl, an absolute brawl, because Vince was not going to take that.
Right. You know, so in Vince's case, I think the accuracy issues and the work ethic were the biggest things that held him back. He had immense talent as a runner. And then the other thing that held him back was that he really just was not a fit. You know, when Bud overruled Jeff Fisher and Norm Chow, who wanted to take Matt Leinart, and by the way, Floyd Reese always said he wanted to take Jay Cutler, which would have been the correct choice. But nonetheless, when Bud told him they were taking Vince Young at number three overall, it just kind of set up a peculiar dynamic, because you basically have Vince Young, you know, doing what he did at Texas, running Norm Chow's offense, you know, that he had at Southern Cal that was so effective. And it, you know, for a little while, as long as Vince could run away from people, it worked.
Yeah.
But then once you had to start actually executing stuff and hitting open receivers and making the right reads on the defense, didn't work so well.
No, I agree. And that's why I think Carnell Tate can help Cam Ward immensely, because Cam Ward's got a deadly throw. I mean, he's got a great deep ball, and he throws the ball well. And now you got a receiver who's really, I mean, he was great at Ohio State. Hopefully he's good in the NFL. I mean, these two could really create something special together if they get it together during practice.
Yeah, and that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Practice, and then the time away from camp together. You know how the quarterbacks always take the receivers and they go somewhere and they throw and they bond and they have, you know, they have a good time, but they get some work in. And that's where some of that will start, you know, start to happen. And it's going to be interesting, you know, just from the pure standpoint of the development of Cam Ward, is his two best friends will be if the Titans can fix the offensive line and get something from the running game, because you guys know as well as I do, it's a whole lot easier on a quarterback when it's third and five than it is when it's third and 12.
Absolutely. Hey, real quick, next week the schedule comes out. The Titans have been on the road. Chase and I figured it out. The last 3 years they've been on the road opening game. It'd be great for them to get a home game versus – we want to be in conference versus Jacksonville, first game of the year. Go out and get a big win, put Jacksonville in a hole. So next week. So we're going to see that. So that's going to be the probably all the talk next week, I would think, Terry.
I think so. The schedule generally comes out the second week of May, or has been. I did read on Pro Football Talk that they said that there's a possibility it could be delayed until the third week of May because there's still four or five games in some kind of Netflix package or some kind of crap, you know, where they're getting like baseball, where they got to be on 50 different, you know, channels to right. get all the games in, you know, and they may have to get that sewn up first so that they know which games are going to be broadcast on what networks and what nights and all that. But yeah, the schedule, you know, the talk of the schedule coming out should start to heat up next week.
Yeah. Going to be curious to see if, Titans find themselves on any of these primetime games. I'd say probably not, but you never know with the rookies.
They managed not to last year, so I'm going to say they probably get shut out again, given that they had the same record this last as the year before.
Yep, we will certainly see. Terry, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Terry McCormick, Titan Insider with Main Street Media, joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you can trade the entire tournament on Kaushi. Spain is currently trading at over 17% to win it all, meaning a $100 trade pays out over $530 if they win soccer's biggest prize. On Kaushi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kaushi app and use code JUMP to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kaushi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kaushi.com/regulatory.